Argue, argue, talk, talk, talk. Exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, up. Talk. Why won't you listen? Why won't you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
And welcome to Spouting Off for Tuesday, January 15th. We are back and happy to be back in the saddle. There is never a shortage of things to spout off about, and today is no different. Both things that are hot off the press and things that are ongoing subjects. If you would like to join the conversation, I don't have a guest. I just have lots of opportunities to spout off. So we'll have a couple of different topics today. If something's on your mind, don't hesitate to give us a call at 888. That's 888-627-6008. My name is Karen Cataline. If you'd like to find some of the stuff that I write about, and we're going to talk a little bit about that next, you can go to KarenCataline.com, spelled K-A-T-A, well, the Cataline part. Karen is spelled the normal way. Did you know there's a lot of different ways to spell Karen? When I was a lot younger, I was experimenting with K-A-R-Y-N and K-A-R-Y-N-N-E or something like that. It's just K-A-R-E-N. K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E, KarenCataline.com. And there you'll find Facebook, Twitter, and all the other accoutrements of social media. Actually, that's pretty much about the only social media I want to do. But if you have been breaking out your popcorn, you know that the media has had two massive blunders this week. Pretty much in the space of a week, we've seen the media get stuck with what I call massive amounts of egg on their face. And the reason this is so important, the reason I love talking about this, and we must talk about it, is because when you're depending on the media to report the lies that the media tells, oh, shall we say we're a little bit at a disadvantage, right? You know, it's very, very sad. It's like depending on the FBI to police itself. Not happening, especially lately. So I wrote a piece just this morning called How Many More Media Lies Will It Take to Convince the Public That the Media Lies? It occurred to me, and actually it occurs to me all the time, every time we see yet another example of the media putting out a fake, false, phony story and then trying to incite hysteria in the leftist base, which they do an excellent job of, I'm amazed that people continue to still buy it. Now, we have no means of really measuring how many people are beginning to figure out that the media lies. It's interesting that we usually only find this stuff out during elections, and those are always a little bit, iffy. Even the polls that the media tells us about are skewed in one direction or another. So it's hard to tell, really, how many people are finally figuring out that they're being lied to by a propaganda-driven media that is the worst I have ever seen. Now, I just finished talking with two of my favorite talk radio hosts, Chuck and Julie, on 710 KNUS in Denver. And Chuck happened to say, interestingly, very knowledgeable guy, very, very knowledgeable. Both of them are. Julie was a former reporter for years for Fox News and other places. And Chuck said he thinks it's better today because there's a way to have alternative media out some of these people. But I have never seen the media so incredibly blatant. Okay, so let me give a couple examples. Probably if you're listening to this, you know them already. First off, there was a story in BuzzFeed that the media went absolutely bat crazy over, claiming that Michael Cohen had been told directly by President Donald Trump to lie. You can look up the story, I'm not going to go hugely into it, but you can look up the story. And now we know that that was a fake, phony, fraudulent story. How do we know part of that? Well, Robert Mueller found it necessary to actually put a press release, put a message out claiming that the story wasn't true. And the media went nuts. They apparently called for Trump's impeachment, which they've been doing pretty much incessantly, 200 plus times. Can you imagine? 200 plus times. Now, if we tried to count the number of times the so-called mainstream media, which they're not so mainstream anymore, have used the word, have asked the question, impeachment, 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 oh my. If we were to question, count, I don't think we could count them. It would be hundreds upon hundreds of times. And they feign, oh, could that mean impeachment? They have been dying, praying, hoping. Well, they don't pray, they're leftists, but they've been hoping that they will finally find some evidence to impeach Donald Trump, because they have not been able to accept that Trump won an unlikely win of the election of 2016. We know this now, but to see such sore losers, to see such ugly, nasty kinds of framing and defaming of Donald Trump, it's so unbecoming of anyone. I also believe that there is much, much more to this. And rarely do people talk about that. Rarely do we hear people talking about what really, well, if you're in the political circles, you do, about what it is that is so, that is motivating the left to want to destroy Donald Trump. It's not just even to impeach him. They want to dismantle his life, destroy him, and destroy his family. What, why, and what could be so threatening to the establishment, to the mainstream media, to the leftists, and so many of his enemies? Why is he such a threat? Because he's effective, that's why. He's effective at thwarting exactly what they want or believe that America ought to have, which is global socialism or crony socialist capitalism, globalism. It's globalism in all its various forms. We have crony capitalist globalists on the right, and we have socialist globalists on the left, and they come together when it comes to things like open borders. So bravo, bravo to Donald Trump, who a lot of people didn't think he was going to stick to his guns, but he has, and the government is still shut down. Does anybody notice? Have you noticed? Are you bothered that the government is shut down? I'm not. I cheer it every day. And I don't believe, just to get off the track for a minute, just to go down a primrose path, I don't believe for one second that Donald Trump thought that the Democrats and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and all those guys would actually accept his offer. That's why he made it, to make it patently clear that the left is not interested in their so-called DACA kids. They're not interested in anything Trump has to say. What they want to do is destroy him, because they want to impose their will upon us. They're not interested in, I mean, to even use the word compromise is utterly preposterous. And they have a willing media, which often sets the agenda for this globalist socialist agenda. So the other story, though, along with this ridiculous story of the BuzzFeed story, I have a link to it on my blog. There's a blog post. You just go to KarenCataline.com and then you look up blogs. There's op-eds, blogs, podcasts of Spouting Off. And then you will see, just click on the blog. And the latest one, if you're going to be listening to this on the podcast, just you can actually even search it now. I keep trying to improve that website of mine. And the piece is called How Many More Media Lies Will It Take to Convince the Public That the Media Lies? Well, what was the second giant massive egg on the media's face? It had to do with a bunch of Covington school kids from Kentucky, Catholic schoolboys, who attended the Right to Life March in Washington, D.C. Well, don't you know, they were wearing Make America Great hats, Make America Great Again hats, which, you know, and most of them are red. But if you really want to see the left go crazy and see red like a bunch of bulls in a china shop or a bunch of bulls, I don't know where, just put on a red Make America Great Again hat and the left goes bananas. Now, I venture to say that in this particular case, when kids were merely waiting for a bus, they were set up by two virulent groups on the left. Well, one in particular, the Black African Israelites, which I just love, you know, putting the Judeo and Judeo-Christian. We got Israelites now, and they're hard leftists who make some of the ugliest smears. That is one of the reasons the left wanted this story to be true, because they wanted to cover up for the true racists and bigots, which were the people that were hounding and provoking a bunch of Catholic school kids. So for them or anyone to think that they care about kids, they don't. They're merely collateral damage in the left's plan to invoke their constant social Marxism, which is you have to believe what we think. You have to believe that white people are evil. You have to believe that anyone Christian who goes to a private school who might be male and straight is evil. And if they can't find the evidence, which they usually don't, more than likely they don't, then what they're going to do is manufacture it. So I don't believe for one minute that they cared about anything other than, here's what I think was the motive. Okay, I interrupted myself. My sweetheart tells me I interrupt myself too much. That's because I got too many ideas in my head. But here's what I think was one of the main objectives to putting this story out with a willing media. Well, there were thousands upon thousands of people at a Right to Life march in Washington, D.C. The left cannot afford to show that. So what did they do? The left and others, activists, wanted to make sure that they hijacked the narrative, hijacked the story, and made sure that they characterized Catholic Christian schoolboys as bigots, racists, and homophobes and all the rest. And they really didn't care to check out the story. When the story was checked out, and thank God they had video of everything that was going on, which nowadays isn't that surprising, but nowadays you have to really have video, because if you don't, you're going to get smeared and defamed, and there are people that really, truly do not care about facts. They don't care about facts in any case. If it fits the narrative, they go with it. If it doesn't fit the narrative, they ignore it. That seems to be the order of the day. That is heartbreaking, really. It's sad that that's where we are today. But if we don't tell the truth about it, we wouldn't be honest. So now, as an update, you've got the Covington School in Kentucky being canceled today. School was canceled today because of threats, because of ugly, nasty threats that they weren't sure that they could protect the kids. So they shut down the school. What is interesting about that is that even in the face of the facts to the contrary, the activists didn't care. As a matter of fact, they wanted to perpetuate the lie that these are indeed racist school kids, and it's not true. They don't care about the facts. In fact, they didn't care about the facts in the Michael Brown case. They didn't care about the facts in a lot of these cases where narrative is everything, facts are nothing. If you want to hear an excellent example of this, and we've been seeing it again and again and again, just look at the true story of Matthew Shepard, the poor kid who was murdered in Wyoming. Well, the left went bananas over that one because they wanted desperately for everyone to believe that all gay people are victims in this homophobic society. And they went bananas, as they usually do. I'm getting tired of that term. I have to come up with a new one. And claimed that Matthew Shepard was the gay Jesus, the victim who took all this abuse at the hands of a homophobic murderer. Turns out it was a drug deal that went bad, and it was a gay guy, his name is Jimenez, I don't remember the first name, who actually wrote a book about the true story about Matthew Shepard. That did not fit with the narrative. That didn't fit with the victimology that the left is crazy about. It's always a contest as to who is the greater victim. If you can claim greater victimhood, you win in the eyes of the left. And then what they're going to do is use you as a political pawn in their greater agenda that most times people don't even know is happening. Nonetheless, Matthew Shepard was the victim of someone who he had had sex with. He was either gay or bisexual, the guy who killed him. And if you really want to know that story, you won't find it from the mainstream media. You won't find it in a lot of places. You won't find it at the Matthew Shepard Foundation, which still raises money and is run by his parents, who are not interested in the real story being told. So truth is the first casualty in politics, in today's politics. And that's just... I wish this weren't true that I was telling you, but if I didn't say the truth, then I wouldn't be able to sleep at night. At such time when the story changes or when something gives us greater information, I'm always willing to hear and to learn more. And to know. But we've seen this pattern again and again and again and again and again. And that is the media running their own narrative, their own agenda, regardless of the facts. So if you'd like to read that piece, it just came out today, January 22nd. Did I say it was January 15th today? It isn't. It's January 22nd today. That was when this piece came out. How many more media lies will it take to convince the public that the media lies? And one other thing before I move on. What has always bothered me is that a lot of people take leave of their senses when it comes to things like sometimes their political views or believing the media or believing celebrities, because that's what they've always done. And yet in our personal lives, individually, despite what the left will tell you, it is extremely important to be discriminating in your life. Being discriminating and making choices in your life is how adults are able to survive. And yet the word discriminating has been given a very bad rap, as I say in this piece. Most people don't blanketly trust anybody. And frankly, especially today, one shouldn't. One should test people a little bit because you don't want to trust your money, your feelings, your very deepest secrets to somebody you just met. That is known from social worker Ease as not having very good boundaries, not having very good psychological boundaries. If you just tell anyone and everyone your most personal, deepest thoughts. Now, I had to learn this later on in life because I wrote a book called Fat Lash about boundaries and about how when you grow up in a household that doesn't have very many, it's hard to know what those are. But still, regardless, as you grow older, you still got to learn what you missed because it's a necessity to having a reasonably healthy adult life, which sometimes is not easy to do in the crazy world we're living in. But hopefully, you don't let that get to you such that you can't still have a happy life. So one of the things to have a happy life, maybe we'll have to do a show about it, is that a cautious adult trusts a little, and then they watch to see what happens before they trust a lot. And yet, we are lied to by the media again and again and again and again and again and again, and still we believe what they say. After we've been given example after example that the media is clearly biased, and as Chuck Bonnewell said in my little interview before I came on the air, the notion that any media is really unbiased is probably a lie, especially today. But now all the pretense of trying to be an objective reporter have gone right out the window. Now we see the media taking the gloves off because Donald Trump is such a huge threat to their Rice Bowl, to their ideology and agenda that America is a bad country and deserves to be taken down many, many, many notches so that we all can be oh so equal, with the exception of them. They don't have to be held accountable to the same standard they wish to hold all of us to, which is the essence, the very essence of socialism. That's what socialism is about. It's socialism for thee, but not for me. That is how celebrities can still claim to be leftists, but they know that it will never threaten their personal Rice Bowl. They've gotten rich and gotten famous in the American free market system, which is a shadow of what maybe it even used to be. And the way they can assuage their guilt is to let all of us know that they care about the little people, you and me, and they want to be equal, and they want to make sure everybody has pennies and crumbs. Well, they will never have to worry about pennies and crumbs. I wrote about that long ago, about how it is very, very rare for a rich person to have the guts to say what Trump did around the time when he came down that escalator. He said, I'm very rich. I don't need this, and I don't need a lot of donations to allow me to run for president. That was amazing. And he spent his money extremely wisely. He spent a fraction of what Hillary Clinton confiscated from you and me and from her dirty business deals. And yet, wonder of wonders, after all of that, what a miracle. Donald Trump won. Hooray! He won. So if you'd like to read that, go to my blog, KarenCataline.com. In our few minutes left, I wanted to point you actually to another piece that I wrote around the beginning of the year, which is, geez, only 3 weeks ago. It seems like 3 years ago that we celebrated 2019. But I didn't have a chance to talk about it last week. And I really had fun writing this piece. It was, I don't think I really, really mentioned it too much, but it was called 2018 Ideas Most Worthy of Mockery and Derision. And the reason I liked it so much is because first I got into a discussion with somebody who told me we shouldn't mock people the way the left does, because conservatives, it got to be just so much nicer, and we can't mock people. Well, I think that's silly, frankly, because the left uses mockery and humor to a tremendous degree. But I wanted to get to some of those ideas because they may just lead us into our next half hour, in which we're going to talk about how it is that commercial companies that sell us razor blades want to lecture us about what it is to be a man. It used to be that they would want to appeal to people and compliment their clients, the people that buy their razors. Now they want to talk down and condescend to their clients and their buyers that they ought to be better men. So I want to talk about that Gillette ad that you probably saw. But a couple of the ideas that are preposterous, stupid, idiotic ideas. One of them that I mentioned, speaking of the Gillette ad, is the notion of toxic masculinity. This is so insulting to roughly half of our population. And it is so stupid that it had to come from a college professor, because the average person connected to reality would not come up with such a ridiculous idea. But the left has these needs to redefine our language, to introduce new concepts that are utterly ridiculous and stupid, so that if you don't accept it, especially the young, you're just not hip. You just don't know what's going on. See, if you were hip, you would know that there's this idea of toxic masculinity. And it is only a hop, skip, and a jump from toxic masculinity to masculinity is toxic, which we've already got. We've already got someone even psychiatrists now, who tend to be very leftist, have now said that masculinity is a form of mental illness. I don't have that article right in front of me. I got too much junk on my desk right now. But the very notion of toxic masculinity is insulting to brothers, husbands, fathers, sons, to half our population. This, by the way, from the people who have been lecturing us for decades about how we got to stop being hateful. We got to be more compassionate. We got to be more understanding. But it's really okay if you hate men, and if you hate white men, or if you hate Christian men, and especially if you hate conservative men. That, and what else do we have? We have white privilege. That's an excuse and license to hate all white people, because you can't do anything about it. If you happen to be born white, then of course you were born with white privilege, which of course is nonsense, is utter collectivist garbage. But it gives people who believe that license to hate all white people. This is the left on steroids, and I hate to say it's going to keep getting worse, because we haven't found a way to truly counteract it, except Donald Trump. And occasionally, I think that we're in a major cultural war here, and these are just some of the weapons the left is using. Another one is this notion of gender fluidity. I will be talking about that in weeks to come, I'm sure, because it's something that makes me crazy. The idea that reality is unreality and unreality is reality. This is what the left would like you to believe. So 2 and 2 is 7. But if you're born a female, you can decide what you want to be. There is so much gender politics being heaped on the public today, particularly children, that I found it necessary to write a very specific piece on that. And I will be talking about that in the weeks to come, because I'm waiting to see whether one gets accepted or not. This subject is multifaceted. I encourage you to watch it closely because there are motives to these things. We don't come up with, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, gender fluidity, if it's not being used as a bludgeon to bludgeon conservatives into yet another way to roll over and play dead when the left wants to institute social Marxism. I say that kind of as a general term because I'd have to define all these things and then I'd have to look them up. No, actually, social Marxism I'm using is a very, very general term. The left never sleeps. That's the problem. They never, ever sleep. We cover that the criticism of the media is an attack on the First Amendment, which is utterly ridiculous. What hubris for the media to believe that they're beyond criticism. That's all I have to say about that. Anti-fascist fascists. So there's always this projection going on. Antifa uses fascist tactics, but if they brand you a fascist, then they get to hate you and try to blow up your house because you're a fascist. You see how that works? It's very, very easy. One that I have talked about at some length and one that is coming to a city near you is, quote, safe injection sites. Safe injection sites. That is happening in Colorado, and I will continue to talk about that. Now the left wants to normalize heroin addiction, meth, shooting up meth, methamphetamine and cocaine. You know, if you can't beat them, join them. So now we are going to have, God forbid, so-called safe injection sites where people who are addicted to drugs get to come and they don't have to worry about federal law. They can come to a safe site and shoot up all they want. And if they overdose, some nice professional is going to come and give them, administer Narcan to them so that they won't overdose and die. If they go out and die the next day, that won't matter as long as the safe injection site gets to claim that they saved a life today. This, too, is a multifaceted, very dangerous, ugly, nasty thing that is being pushed in many cities around the country. So anyway, I got to take a break. So go to my website, KarenKataline.com. And look up 2018 leftist ideas most worthy of mockery and derision. And you can read them all the leftist ideas. There's 10. It's done in the form of a top 10 list. When we come back, we're going to talk a lot more about that Gillette ad and another company that decided to counter the Gillette ad with something a little different. So stay tuned. This is Karen Kataline. You're listening to Spouting Off, and we'll be right back.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital. starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Hi, I'm Shelby, a student at Hillsdale College. Here is President of Hillsdale College, Dr. Larry Yarn, on Congress granting itself legal exemptions.
In 1788, as the Constitution was being debated, James Madison wrote that the chief restraint preventing Congress from passing laws that apply to us, but not to Congress, is, quote, the vigilant and manly spirit which actuates the people of America, a spirit which nourishes freedom. If this spirit shall ever diminish so as to tolerate a law not obligatory on the legislature, the people will be prepared to tolerate anything but liberty. Today, Americans live under many laws that do not apply to elected officials and those who work for them. If we hope to preserve our liberty, we must recultivate that manly spirit of freedom that our fathers had.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To receive a free pocket constitution and declaration, go to constitutionminute.com.
And we're back. Karen Cataline with you for the second half of Spouting Off. And I don't know if there's almost anybody who has not seen or heard about the Gillette ad that went viral. And the gist of the ad was, is this the best a man can get? And they talked about the Me Too movement and about sexual harassment and about boys will be boys. They mentioned toxic masculinity. And basically, they are condescending and lecturing to people who I hope don't buy their products anymore about how to be a man. You know, just what we wanted is for a razor company to tell everybody what is and is not acceptable to being a man. Quote, Gillette believes in the best in men, said Gary Coombe, president of Procter & Gamble. So everybody's getting in on this bandwagon, and they use a term that I'm sure was hatched in some university professor's basement called toxic masculinity. I'd like to know as a woman whether or not anybody believes there's such a thing as toxic femininity. No, what they're trying to create, and I've been saying this for a long time, is that they're trying to create bigotry towards men. And that men are just such apes and such awful human beings that they are the perpetrators and women are the sweet, lovely, sweet young things who are constantly victims of men. Interestingly, that same left who would like to perpetrate that silly, ridiculous, and very, very simplistic notion, they are against women being able to defend themselves and using their Second Amendment rights to do so. No, they want to take away women's rights, but they want to take away men's rights too. Now, you probably know that. Interestingly enough, when this Gillette ad came out, it received 330,000 dislikes on YouTube, and people weren't buying it. A lot of people decided they were going to start buying Schick rather than Gillette. Now, what I thought was interesting, and I want my esteemed producer to get ready, because we're going to hear an ad, which is on my Facebook page, by the way, because there's a couple of graphics that obviously we can't do on the radio because this is the radio. But it's a company that decided to counter the Gillette ad and let people know that not all companies that sell products are in agreement with Gillette about toxic masculinity. So let's see if we can pull that up, Doug, and play that for everyone. It's about maybe almost 2 minutes. Listen, and then I'll tell you what the graphics said.
What is a man? Is a man brave? Is a man a hero? Is a man a protector? Is a man vulnerable? Is a man disposable? Is a man broken? Is a man trying? See the good in men.
So that is an ad that came out just recently by a company called eGuard Watches. And you can go to my Facebook page /Karen Cataline and you can see it, or you can probably find it on YouTube directly. What is a man? Now, this is, I loved it. I loved it. And it was kind of interesting when it said, is a man disposable? And I started thinking about a disposable razor and how a razor blade company can tell a man what he is and what he is not. If you'd like to weigh in on this topic, by the way, you can call me at 888-627-6008 and we'll take your call. So the graphic that was there on the ad that you didn't get to see were some very, very sad statistics that we all know, really, but they almost never get reported. And this, we're talking about the real war in politics today, and it is a war on men. Let me repeat that. There is a war on men today, not women. Women are not even being called to account because they're characterized as victims, which as a woman, I take great umbrage to. I remember the 70s when it was, I am woman, hear me roar. Now all of a sudden they want me to feel like a victim? No, thank you. So here are some of those statistics. 93% of workplace fatalities are men. This is shown in the ad. 97% of fatalities in war, men. You guessed it. 79% of all homicides are men. Nearly half of fathers without any visitation rights at all still financially support their children. So remember the times when they're saying deadbeat fathers and all of that? But 50% of the men who aren't getting any visitation at all, and we all know, well, some of us do, that the courts are still very, very unfair to men as a general rule. Now, it depends on the bias of the person, but this public notion that men are ogres is not helping the average innocent man who just wants a fair shake in court. So these social mores that are being pushed, that men are evil simply by virtue of their gender, is utter nonsense. And by the way, if gender is so fluid, then why is it that men are suddenly so evil? Is it inborn in them? No, it isn't. The contradictory notions that the left puts out, they basically want you to take leave of your senses. And frankly, they celebrate, and this is very true, they celebrate, quote, transitions from male to female, I think, much, much more than they celebrate transitions from female to male, even though they talk all about gender fluidity, which is more gobbledygook nonsense. You're born how you're born. The number of people that are born with three chromosomes, two X's and a Y, or whatever, you very, very rare. They would like it to make it much more common. Why? Because they love drag queens. They love gay men. They love transsexuals. But straight men, the left hates them. And I've said before, and I will say again why, in just a minute. 80% of all suicide victims are men. 75% of all single homeless people are men. And then when you start to get into the subject of boys and how they're being treated today, it's even worse. We have a caller on the line. Barney wants to talk to us about this subject. Barney, welcome to Spouting Off.
How are you, Karen?
I'm doing great, Barney. Always great to talk to you. What's on your mind?
I just shaved this morning, but I didn't use a Gillette razor. I really don't think I need Gillette to tell me how to be a man. By the way, speaking of men, where were the men at the Lincoln Memorial when those kids were being browbeaten, bullied? You know, it's funny how the left brings up all this bullying, and those were all lefties bullying those little kids, and God help them.
That's true.
God help them, because I'll tell you, Karen, if I were there, I have a stick, and I'm not afraid to use it. I guarantee you, I'm not going to
condone violence on this program.
We sure don't. So. But I have no trouble whacking somebody in the face. You just leave kids alone. It's just wrong.
But isn't it interesting that, Barney, wasn't it interesting that on Twitter you had all kinds of people, both famous and infamous and not so famous, calling for violence against teenagers for wearing a Make America Great Again hat?
Yeah, and all I'm saying to you is that I would not have stood there and watched it happen. I'm not condoning anything, but where are the men that are going to stand up? You know, and let me say this to you. So, and look, maybe I'm a stereotype, maybe this is a generality, but the fact is my father was not a good father. A lot of fathers from my generation, you know, my father, my buddy's father, my whatever, that World War II, they weren't exactly really good fathers. Yeah, maybe they were a home caretaker, you know, take care of the family. But I look at men, even today, back when my daughter was young, I saw a huge amount of care. I saw men really take action in their kids' life, really be a part of their sons and daughters' lives. I saw a big change from this is an opinion and it's anecdotal.
You're making a generalization, but let's slow down a bit. It was men who were of the World War II generation, I think, who thought that their only job was to put food on the table. And it was the woman's job to raise the kids. I think that was a standard kind of 50s father thing.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. And that's why I'd say to you that I'm not a better man than my father. I'm just a better father than my father was. And you're right. It was a whole different role then. The men were different. It was a different role for the man of the house. Whatever. Men's women, I don't know what to tell you, but it was a different role.
Well, I think a lot of kids of that generation got father starved. I know I was.
They did, absolutely. Yep.
Yeah.
And if you look at this next generation, I see my son-in-law, and these kids have really stepped up to the plate, and I'm personally impressed. And I'm not going to say they're better fathers than me, but I just think, and so I look at men today, And I think that we are better. We are more compassionate. I'm a full-fledged fruitcake. I may sound angry and I can get really mad and do whatever, but I'll admit I'm a fruitcake. I mean,
a fruitcake truck driver. I love it.
I'm pretty sure I'm a fruitcake.
can you define fruitcake, Bernie? What does that mean exactly?
I love animals and I love kids and I don't know.
You're a softie.
I'm a fruitcake. Trust me.
You're a softie.
Yes, very.
Okay.
But I can also be really angry and really mean. But for Gillette.
Yeah, but wait a second. Not everything. Here's the thing that bothers me. Even conservatives, not everything boils down to gender. There's so much that makes us up as individual human beings. The left would like you to believe if you are white, if you are male, you're this. If you are female and you are Hispanic, you're that. They are the bigots because they're trying to boil us down to these simplistic stereotypes. Remember when they were the ones telling us that those were unfair stereotypes? Now that's all they do is stereotype.
The left is so racist. They are, they are so, what is that called when you segregate? They have segregation on the brain their whole life. They are What do they call that? What's the word from the 60s? Segregationalists. They segregate us out. They stereotype all of us. But
they really do. They're doing everything they accused us of. So let me ask you this, Barney. What, now that it's becoming clearer and more obvious than ever that the left is perpetuating bigotry and racism and collectivist stereotypes, what do you think is the best way to fight against them?
Well, I don't know if there's a fight. I think eventually people are going to see through this. We were listening to that show on the other, wherever. And I think people are starting to realize that ABC and NBC and CBS don't have the answers. They're a bunch of hacks. Journalism like Hannity, who I can't stand. Journalism is dead. There's no journalism left. And I think we're just going to have to wear them down in the sense that we're going to have to outstay them because people, look, when these people are coming out and Bernie Sanders calls Trump a racist, are you kidding me?
Yeah, just recently. Do you know that 49%...
I'm Martin Luther King Day.
Bernie, do you know that 49%, at least if we're going to even believe the polls, because I'm not sure we are, believe that Trump is a racist. And yet when you ask them, what did he say that's racist? What's your evidence that he's a racist? They can't tell you.
Not one thing. And I I don't even give these polls much whatever, because the bottom line is we know when you look at, we know who they are. They can't hide it. And Trump is a lot of things, but he is no racist.
He was never a racist for 40 years.
Never.
When he was in the public eye. Right.
He's a New York liberal.
I don't think he's so liberal anymore. I think he's more conservative than most of the conservatives. Barney, the show is almost over, so I got to let you go. Thank you so much for calling. It's always a pleasure. Always a pleasure to hear from you, Barney. And that's Barney on line one. If you would like to join in next week, not this week, because we don't have enough time for another call, you'll be able to call the way Barney did at 888-627-6008. Thank you, Barney, for that call. What was I going to say? Yes. Next week, we're going to have a lot more spouting off. I have a guest in mind that is not confirmed, that I think is going to be a wonderful hot guest, very, very accomplished author, and writes about issues that I think are extremely current. That's as much a hint as I can give you. If you'd like to comment or contact me, you can do so at KarenKataline.com or just write to Karen@KarenKataline.com. Everything has my name in it. I want to thank Doug, my producer at BBS Radio, to HW, the multi-talented guy with an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week when there's going to be a whole lot more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.